You have seen that heartwarming movie, Babe, about the smart pig. Okay, some of you are shy about admitting that you've seen that movie about Babe, the smart pig, and the sheep that need to be herded about. Yes, what a great story. Now, to get into the sandals of Jesus and his followers, I'm attempting to pull us out of our metropolitan modern mindset and start to think like sheep and smell the dung and the pen outside next to the barn, hear the dogs barking, farming life. I've been around a few farms when I was a kid in the summertime. I'd go up and work on a farm for a few weeks. So I'm a little bit acquainted with sheep, and sometimes we take our children down to Greenfield Village in Dearborn, Michigan, and hang out at the Firestone Farm. How many of you have enjoyed being there? And you see the sheep. So I have a few fun factoids about sheep, just to remind you how wonderful these animals are. Are you ready? About sheep. This is tying into what Jesus is going to teach us this morning. On the screen, the first fun factoid is that sheep can't find their way anywhere. Nowhere. They really can't. They need a shepherd, or they're just going to wander about lost. Jesus has something to say about that too. Number two of the sheep factoids, sheep have poor eyesight. They can only see about 20 feet in front of them, and what's within that first 20 feet is kind of fuzzy to begin with. They have decent hearing, but poor eyesight. So they can't find their way anywhere. Fuzzy vision, can only see 20 feet in front of their nose. Number three of the sheep factoids, sheep are incredibly dirty. In fact, one scholar called them walking Velcro. I like that because, see, sheep wool, they secrete this oil that you know the name of, lanolin. And so it comes out through the wool and it gets really sticky. And so everything sticks to their wool. Dirt, bugs, dung, all of this. You've seen dirty sheep before, and they look like walking Velcro. So sheep are incredibly dirty, bad eyesight, they can't find their way anywhere. Number four, the sheep factoids. Sheep are essentially defenseless. They really can't defend themselves. They're top-heavy. They have really skinny legs, knobbly knees. They can't run fast. They can't even really walk fast. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't bark loud. They don't look dangerous. They're defenseless. Number five, sheep factoids. They have tiny brains. They really do. They have tiny brains. And so all of these facts about sheep, and then throughout the Old and New Testaments, God's people, Israel, and the church are called, in many different places, what? Sheep! I don't know about you, but after looking through that, I don't know if I want to be called a sheep. But Jesus and many of the Old Testament prophets talk in this metaphorical way about God's people being sheep and the leaders over them being called shepherds. And we don't like that because we want to be the captain of our own ship. We want to lead our own lives. We think that we have really good eyesight to see off into the distant future. We don't think we're going to get lost on our own. We don't think we're going to pick up dirt along the way through life. We don't think we need a rescuer. We think we can rescue ourselves. We think we can lead our own way. Don't we? We wake up in the morning. We can carve our own path. We're going to figure this out. I'm that way, which is why I'm saying we, not just you. Every human is prone to wander about like a sheep, thinking they can rescue themselves or guide their own way. And then Jesus has a question in the text that we're going to look at this morning, and he is going to really ask to the heart of everybody tuning in, who is your shepherd? Do you think you are your own shepherd, or are you following these other shepherds? Who is your shepherd, and what will your response be to the shepherd? In the Gospel of John chapter 10 is where we're going to be turning this morning. And in John chapter 9 is this incredible story about the man born blind and Jesus heals him. And the strict rabbis, the Pharisees of the day, they taught that only God could heal the blind. A man born blind could not be healed by a person, but by medication. No, only God could do that. And Jesus heals the man born blind. Incredible story in the Gospel of John chapter 9. And it's communicating this truth that we come to Jesus blind. We come to Jesus empty-handed. The only way to come to Jesus is knowing that only He can heal our deepest need. Only He can rescue us from ourselves. Only He can bring healing and freedom and joy and life. And He's doing that all throughout the Gospels. And in the Gospel of John chapter 9, this man receives healing, and then he testifies before the people, the leaders, and they seek to incriminate him. And all the man says, you know, I don't know who this one was, but I know that I was blind and now I can see. Have you experienced that spiritually? That I was blind, now I can see. And then Jesus begins this teaching to the crowds. And the first part of it is a parable. And then it's really two figures of speech. In fact, in some translations, it's just three figures of speech. But it's known as the parable of the shepherd. So I want us to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. We're going to scan all the way through verse 21 because it's all connected, these three figures of speech beginning with a parable. And we're going to see three truths about this shepherd, and then again he's going to drive home a question to the listeners. So who is your shepherd? What is your response going to be? And the crowds will divide over that question, and some of our hearts here in person or online may still yet, even as Christ followers, we still are prone to think that we lead and guide and shepherd our lives instead of Jesus. We have to evaluate our hearts on that every day. So this applies to all of us. So in John chapter 10, verse 1, are you there? All right, John chapter 10, verse 1, it begins this way. Truly, truly. Now, you who grew up going to church like I did 39 years ago, you heard verily, verily, right? Which means I tell you this solemn truth. Listen up. I know you're busy, your kids may be whining in the corner, your stomach might be growling because you didn't eat breakfast. Listen to this solemn truth. I don't want you to miss this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This parable, this figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. They're puzzled about this. The first movement is this: Jesus the shepherd calls his sheep. That's your first step in what Jesus is communicating. Jesus the shepherd calls his sheep, which means people come to God because he calls them. You can't deny that from this text. We don't figure our way out to God. Now, we might approach the Bible with questions as an unsaved or searching, seeking person might sense this prompting. I need to figure out life. But that begins by the prompting of God, the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. That we come to God because there is this Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wooing us, drawing us, and causing us to have this desire to open up his word, to hear his voice, to hear the gospel call, and then we respond to his voice. That people come to God because he calls them. Jesus says, my sheep know me. They know my voice. New Testament scholar from many years back, F.F. Bruce, grew up in the Scottish Highlands. I kind of think that's not fair. It seems sort of nice. But of course, Michigan's a beautiful place, and if I grew up in the Scottish Highlands, maybe I'd think, oh, it's not fair to live in Michigan, such a beautiful place. I don't know, but F.F. Bruce was Scottish, and so he recalled, as he was commenting on this passage, how all the shepherds, of course, across the Scottish Highlands, they had nicknames, get this, for every single sheep in their fold. Every single one had a name. Every single one knew when the shepherd, their shepherd, called out that nickname, they would come because they knew his voice and they knew their nickname because from the moment they were born, the shepherd would call them by name. And God is our shepherd and he calls you by name. He calls you and every day he's saying, I love you. I know you. Yeah, I know everything you've done. I know where you've been. I know the dirt you've picked up along the way because you're walking Velcro. I know that you're defenseless even though you've been trying to rescue yourself. I know you've been trying to lead your own life. I know you've been trying to see what's ahead. But I love you and I know you and I'm calling you by name. Don't miss that. And I'm inviting you to follow me. This is who our shepherd is. And so Jesus, the shepherd, calls his sheep. And so his invitation through this to the people back then and to people today is, today, follow the voice of the shepherd. Today, follow the voice of the shepherd. My children know my voice. And they know that I know their name and I call them by name, even though sometimes I get them mixed up because they all end in an N sound, you know, Hudson, Everland, Carson, Jackson. It's like, Carson, I mean Hudson, I mean Jackson, I mean, what is your name? Come here. And they go, Dad, you don't even know my name, right? But sometimes my children might do something that all children do. I call them out by name and they do what? Who said it? They don't, Mallory said it, they don't come. You heard me. Do I have to say it again? All the parents in the house have repeated that line. Right? Do I have to say it again? Carson, come here. Suddenly, it's like he doesn't have hearing. Come here. Come to Dad. Come to Dad. Carson Michael Bresnaw. Carson. Yeah. And he comes. He knows my voice. God is calling out in love, knowing that we walk in danger, knowing that the world is filled with all kinds of temptation, knowing that we ultimately are just like sheep, and what can sheep do? Bah, bah, wobble around. This is us, and our God is the good shepherd, Jesus, who calls his sheep by name, and they know him. And a sheep would be brought out to pasture, and during the good weather months, they would have these places not near the close-in house or the shelter of the shepherd, but over the years, shepherds would build these stone pens way out in the fields so that at the nighttime, they'd bring the sheep in there to rest. Here's a picture of one of those in the land of Israel. Isn't that neat? And so Jesus is bringing out this picture. Look at the text. He says, the one who climbs up some other way, who climbs over the wall or climbs up around trying to get in, trying to maybe steal one of those young lambs, that's not the shepherd. And the sheep know that because they don't recognize his voice and he doesn't know their name. We have an enemy who's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus is going to talk about that in the next paragraph. And he's trying to climb over the walls. He's trying to get into your mind. He's trying to twist your heart. He's trying to deceive you in every way to get you out, to get you into danger, to bring destruction to your life. And Jesus is saying, that's not the shepherd. Which shepherd are you following? Are you going to follow my voice? Or are you going to follow some false shepherd? Because there are false voices out there all around. Every day we're inundated with false calls. These calls come through these signals from Satan, sin in his system. Oh, this will bring you purpose. Oh, this is how you're going to have a happy life. Oh, this is what will bring you satisfaction. Oh, this is where pleasure is found. Go here, do that, buy this, go there, take that. And who will we follow? Follow the voice of the shepherd who knows your name. The shepherd who calls you by name. And every day he's saying, I love you. I know what's best for you. My plan is for your good. My plan is not to ruin your life, but to give you life, abundant life. This is where Jesus is going to go in the next paragraph. And so the people are confused about this parable. So Jesus said to them again, the next movement. He says, truly, truly, a solemn truth I say, don't miss this, I am the door of the sheep. Your translation might say gate. I am the door of the sheep. I can think of what those people might be considering back then. I was confused about the first parable. Now I'm really confused. What is it? The door of the sheep. He was the shepherd, now he's the door? What is this about? All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Those guys who climb over the fence, you know, climb over the wall, try to get in. They're not really the sheep. They don't know the sheep's name. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, verse 9. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture, good ground, good grass, protection. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So point number one, going back to that, the next slide is, so Jesus the shepherd calls his sheep, so follow the voice of the shepherd. You can go ahead and put that up. And the next movement is this, number two, Jesus the door protects his sheep. How does he do that? I have another picture. This is a painting of what it would look like out in the pasture. You see where the shepherd is? So in the warm months, again, the shepherd would lead the sheep out, way out into the countryside. But they'd have these pens constructed out in the wilderness, and they wouldn't have a gate. Even I would, by my research, say that the wooden structure is probably a stretch, because everybody I read said the only door actually to these pens was the shepherd himself. Jesus is saying, I am your protection. I'm the one who's going to keep you secure. I'm the one who's going to lead you in and lead you out and keep you safe and bring you to pasture, bring you into the promises and the joy and the purpose of God. This is who I am. And there will be times when wolves will come, wild animals. There will be times when robbers, when false shepherds will try to get in. But the only way to come out, you have to go through the shepherd. The only way to go in and out is through the shepherd, because he's there at the door. He is the gate. This is why Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Look at where he continues now. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one in the doorway. I'm the one at night when there's danger. I am going to stay there alert and awake so that no harm will befall you. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. They don't belong to him. But we, the flock of God, those who've been called by the shepherd, the one who know his voice, and we follow and we're in his flock, we belong to him. And he protects us. He keeps us safe. He guards us. He's talking about these hired hands. Well, in the first century, second, third centuries AD, and before Jesus came on the scene, the first century, in the Mishnah, the hired shepherds, the hired hands, were given permission that if there was more than one wolf, if there was more than one wild animal at night, they could flee. They could leave for threat of their own life. So I can imagine if the threat were bad enough, there would be always the report from the shepherd would be, there was more than one, there were 5 or 10 or 20. Because he didn't want to be held responsible for the lost sheep. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus isn't a hired hand. And this is linked back to the Pharisees, actually. Consider themselves like hirelings. They were scattering the sheep out there by extra biblical rules and regulations without the compassion and loving kindness of God, missing the grace of God, only about the law, and then their man-made law on top of it. And the people were like sheep without a shepherd. That's how Jesus observes them. And he's saying, my sheep are called by name. I know them. They know me. I am the door. I am the one protecting them. And so Jesus, the door, protects his sheep. So today, abide in the protection of the shepherd. Rest in the protection of the shepherd and follow him. There are false voices. There are hired hands in all kinds of ways. I want us to look at a couple passages in the Old Testament where God, through prophets, is calling out the shepherds, the rulers who are manipulating the people. It says this in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and following. You can turn there with me. This is a beautiful passage. It talks about one kind of shepherd and then the shepherd. Jeremiah 23, verse 1 says, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. Woe means judgment upon them. This is what God declares. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. You're not caring for them. You're not protecting them. In fact, you're leading them out into the wolves, into pagan idolatry, into the lies of the enemy. Behold, I'm about to attend to you, God says, for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself, God says, will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, bring them back into protection, bring them back into provision, bring them back, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. And then this is fulfilled in Jesus. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, the Lord, when I'll raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. And in his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. This is fulfilled in no other than Jesus Christ, the shepherd. You see this? Which shepherd are you following? Which voice are you following? In Ezekiel 34, turn with me to verse 1. Ezekiel 34, here's another passage about false shepherds, false voices. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves instead of the sheep. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost, but with the force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains, and on every high hill my flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth. There was no one to search or seek for them. And Jesus comes, and he calls out the shepherds of the day. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, those ruled by their man-made law, put on top of God's law to manipulate, to steal from the people, to feed and make themselves fat and rich. Maybe some of them thought they were doing it also in good conscience. I'm doing this because this is how I'm near to God. And God blesses me. My richness is proof of God's favor on my life. God's put me in this position, so I must wield this power. And Jesus says, I am the shepherd, I am the door. Follow me, abide in the protection that I provide. Remember, he's just healed the man born blind, and they say only God could do that. So the story continues this way. Look at verse 14. I'm not like those who flee from wild animals. I am the good shepherd. He repeats that. I know my own life, and I and my own know me. I know my own and my own know me, excuse me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. He's going to repeat that phrase 5 times in this passage. I lay down. He's already said it once. I am the good shepherd in verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In fact, here's what the shepherd would do as the door, as the gate. He would lay down across it, and so that no sheep could leave or go in apart from crossing over him. No wild animal could go in, right? Because he was there. He's willing to lay down his life because through his life and his death for us, we have life. This is why he says in verse 10, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly, because he is the door. You want to have life? You want to know the meaning and purpose of life? Receive his life. This is step three. Jesus, the shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. The Pharisees weren't willing to do that. All the kings over the nation of Judah, Israel, they were shepherds in it for their own gain, for the most of them. But Jesus comes as the shepherd to give them life, and he's going to lay down his life so that they can have abundant life. Look back down in verse 15. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. This is Jesus already pointing to the fact, the truth that they at that point would not realize, but they would someday, that God's invitation was not only for the nation Israel, but for the whole world. And this is good news for us, because I do not know of anybody here at Mayfair Bible Church who is 100% Jewish by heritage, by ancestry, right? We're Gentiles, saved by the grace of God, grafted into the family, brought into the sheepfold of God, into his flock, because he's called us, he's invited us in, he's drawn us to trust in his life and his death so that we can have life forever with him and be in his family forever. So he continues this way. For this reason, the Father loves me because I, you see it again right there? Say it with me. I lay down, right? I lay down my life so that I may take it again. This is alluding to his resurrection to come. If he's going to lay down his life, he will rise again. He will rise again. And because he conquered death, we have eternal life through him. Now verse 18, no one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. There it is again for the fifth time. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. I'm going to lay down my life. You're not going to understand this now, disciples, crowds out there, but I'm going to lay down my life as the shepherd who's willing to die so that you might live, so that you can be in the sheepfold of God, so that you can have eternal provision, life everlasting, as God's people have his grace poured out on your heart, so that you can be protected from all the enemy might throw at you or might try to do against you harm. I keep you, and I will lose none of you because you are mine. You belong to me, and I will rise again. Is that the good news this morning? And I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from the Lord. He is saying, the Father commissioned me for this task. Everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did was commissioned by the Father. He was fulfilling everything the Father had tasked him to do. And the ultimate pinnacle of that task would be to die on the cross in our place, be buried, and after 3 days rise again so that he could be the door, so that he could be the shepherd, so that he could give us life through his death and then his glorious resurrection. The shepherd, and he will come again, and his name will be the Lord our righteousness. And he will bring justice and peace and righteousness. Today, he's inviting you to receive him, to receive. If he gives life, if you've believed and you have received, rejoice in the life that you've received. Rejoice in the life of Jesus. Receive the life of Jesus. Follow his voice. And then you can abide in his protection. You can rejoice in his provision. If you've received who he is. Verse 19, it continues this way. The final step. I know we've gone through a long passage of scripture, but I hope you're seeing all the connecting points to follow the voice, abide in the protection, receive it. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. So all the crowds out there, they're hearing this teaching, and a divide occurs everywhere in the truth is still dividing today. Many of them were saying, he has a demon. He's insane. What is this? He's the shepherd. He's the door. He's going to lay down his life, take it up again. He's received this commandment from God. What is this? Why do you listen to him? That's what one half of the crowd, or maybe even more than half the crowd, is saying. Verse 21, others, though, were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? You've taught us that only God could heal a person born blind. And so that means that he's God. Maybe he's the one who's the fulfillment of those words that we know from the prophet Jeremiah, from the prophet Ezekiel, also from the prophet Isaiah. Maybe he is. Maybe he is, others were saying. And the parable and the figures of speech would ring in their minds, in their ears. Follow the voice of the shepherd. He knows you by name, and every day he's saying, I love you. I know you. I'm calling you. And he's the door protecting you, guarding you, watching over you. Don't follow these other false ideas, these false voices out there. Follow me. This commandment he received from the Father, he says. What about you? Maybe you're tuning in online this morning and you've not taken that step to receive Jesus for who he said he is. You're still trying to maybe be the captain of your own fate, trying to guide your own life. Knobbly knees, you're picking up dirt like Velcro everywhere you go. Jesus wants to make you whole. You want to have life. You want to know the meaning and purpose of life. Have it abundantly. Have it to the full. That's Jesus. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the step number four, and this is the final. Jesus is the shepherd, king, rescuer. We cannot shepherd ourselves. We cannot be king over ourselves. We cannot rescue ourselves. Only Jesus can. But every day we're confronted with the opportunity to try to shepherd our own lives, rule over our own lives, rescue ourselves. We have to admit that we can't, and that only Jesus can. It reminds me of a crazy story. This may be a little bit of, I don't know, comic relief, but, you know, there's the danger of people trying to help other people. And I remember one time my parents decided, as they would do when we were young kids, have a date night on a Thursday, usually a date night. And my brother and sister and I were little children. We were, you know, my sister's maybe 10. I was probably 7. And my younger brother about 3 and a half, maybe younger. And so they hired this babysitter, who seemed like a nice young girl, though we found out that she was really interested in talking to her boyfriend on the phone. And of course, that would have been on the landline. Cell phones didn't exist. And so we're running around the house, and she finished up making the mac and cheese, because that's sort of ubiquitous with being a babysitter in the 1980s. Mac and cheese, okay, now I'll get back on the phone with my boyfriend. And we're just tearing things up. And finally, we said, hey, can you play hide-and-go-seek with us? Can you play hide-and-go-seek? Okay, finally. You know, she hangs up the phone. I'll call you back, whatever his name is. And she said about that, my sister is going to be the one to find my brother and I. And she wants to make this last as long as possible, because if my sister can't find us, she can get back on the phone and talk to her boyfriend. I mean, that's my theory. I'm just hypothesizing here. But my little brother, who is just a tiny little, like, 2 or 3-year-old, she says, hey, this is what we're going to do, Michael. We're going to put him in his footy pajamas, zip him up in his footy pajamas, and I'm going to hang him in the closet. So she puts the hanger behind his shoulders, puts him in his footy pajamas, and she says, all right, help me get him up and hang him in your closet in the back, right over here. Yeah, are you okay, Stephen? All right. And would push all the clothes in there. She'll never find him. And he's like, and about, my job was to hide in the closet. She'd find me first, but she'd never find Stephen. And then, you know, she'd get back on the phone with her boyfriend. And so Sarah finds me, and then I don't know how long it was, maybe 10, 15 minutes. Finally, Stephen's probably crying out, I'm choking to death, you know, get me out of here. She was a bad shepherd. I told you it was kind of comic relief. She was a hired hand. My parents were irate when they found this out. We might have waited a few days to tell my parents, I don't know, because we liked having fun with this babysitter. She was fun, you know. On a serious note, there are all kinds of people who are in it for the money, trying to guide us their way. Pastors, people who claim that title in our culture, can act like this. The pastors who preach a prosperity gospel, trying to guide people who believe in Jesus into lies so that they can gain all kinds of millions and millions of dollars for themselves. You know the kind, right? There are politicians, there are business leaders, all kinds of people who would steer us into lies, trying to get stuff from us rather than guide us into the way of Jesus. So Jesus says, I'm not a hireling. And any kind of pastor only is a decent pastor if he's an under-shepherd, under Jesus. My only job is to point you to Jesus. Fire me if I ever point to myself. Really. As elders, as pastors, as deacons at Mayfair Bible Church, it's not about us. It's about pointing everybody to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Right? Because he is the one who is called the Lord our righteousness. The one who's laid down his life for the sheep, and he took it back again. Because only he can. Only he can rise again and give us life. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me for a moment? Consider this question. Who is your shepherd? Who are you following? Are you following yourself still? And a little bit of Jesus? Mostly your voice and then some of his on Sunday, a little bit in the morning, but then the rest of the time just you? Know that this voice is not some ethereal, mystical thing that you kind of chase in the wind. His voice is the truth, and God has given us the truth in his word and by the Holy Spirit, who guides us and illuminates us, gives us understanding to his word, the scriptures you hold in your hand. And so you must tune in your ears to his voice, tune in your heart to his word, and to the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word, so that you walk in his way and follow him in and out through the life, his life, in good pasture. Have you received Jesus the shepherd? Have you received the one who gives you life, eternal life, forgiveness of your sin? Have you turned from trying to be the rescuer for yourself and turn to Jesus the rescuer? Have you believed and received him today? If you haven't, today is the day of salvation, God's word says. If you have, the invitation for all of us who are in his flock to rejoice in him, to abide in his protection, to rest in his mercy, to worship him, and to follow his voice. The voice of truth, the voice of grace, who knows all of us by name. And he's saying, I love you. I know you. You are mine. I will do you no harm. Trust in my voice. Trust in me. Follow me. Father in heaven, we bow before you. We thank you, God, for your word, this amazing set of figures of speech through your son Jesus, a parable, and how this all fits together with an agrarian culture of shepherd, sheep, flock, and pasture. A little bit foreign from our modern metropolitan mind. Help us to understand so that we're not left confused like the people back then. We thank you, O God, for your Holy Spirit who guides us. We pray, O God, for those who have not yet received Jesus for themselves to believe and be saved, to have eternal life. Draw them, Lord God, today. We pray, Lord, that we as your flock would not take pride in our position, but instead turn to live on your mission, to share this truth of Jesus, to rejoice in what you have done, to celebrate what we've received through what you have provided for us, and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.